Chapter 8. The hangar containing the stepper shuttles was at the heart of the complex, a concrete box surrounded by fuel store facilities. The shuttles stood in a neat row. Each conical craft looked like an old Apollo command module, but standing on four legs with a stubby engine block and spherical fuel tanks beneath. Using the gap, this was all you needed to reach space. You didn't even need to take your shuttle out of this hangar. The processing was swift. The bulk of the visitors' luggage was taken away to residential facilities elsewhere on the site, leaving them with small items of hand luggage. Supervised by attendants in hooded white coveralls, the four of them were put through a final medical screen, culminating in antiseptic showers. Then they were fitted with fresh coveralls in a rich NASA-type blue, each equipped with temperature control elements, an emergency oxygen supply, and clumsy sewn-in diapers in case of other kinds of emergency. The next visitors put up with all this with a kind of bored patience. Dev, watching them, supposed this must be a posture that Next, working among humans, got used to adopting. Bored patience. They all climbed easily into their shuttle and strapped themselves into couches, selecting them at random from banks fixed on a couple of decks in the interior of the little craft. Automated, the shuttle needed no pilot. Dev found himself slipping into tour guide mode.
"This is all very routine," he said. "We make hops over in shuttles like this every day."
"We can do without such trivial observations," said Roberta mildly. "We are not tourists."
"The safety record they've achieved is a non-trivial matter," Stella said to her. "Although it has got better yet since we showed up and ran a few reviews."
Roberta considered Dev. "And the cultural development here is non-trivial, of course. Dev Bilaniuk, I'm guessing your names have different origins. They sound Indian and Slavic."
"Mother from Delhi, father from Minsk, both drawn here to the Gap. I'm a second-generation Gapper."
"You could surely have moved away, had you chosen to. Evidently you inherited their dream of space." Lee leaned forward against her straps.
"That's not so unusual, especially when you see what else is on offer in the long Earth. Slaving in factories at the feet of space elevators in the low Earths, or else wandering around in hand-me-down clothes picking fruit and chasing after funny-looking deer. I'm a second-generation Gapper, too. At least here we're pursuing an authentic human aspiration, one that predates stepping itself, and one you people stay out of, unless you need something."
Dev said, "Lee?" Stella held up a hand.
"It's okay."
And under the control of the shuttle's AI, they stepped. One step further west, they fell into a hole where an Earth should be. Beyond the windows, where there had been washed out English sunlight, there was only darkness. And as always, without gravity, it felt to Dev like they were suddenly falling. Then the shuttle swiveled sharply and fired its thrusters, producing a fierce deceleration. Every object on the surface of the Earth at Gap Space's latitude was moving through space at hundreds of miles per hour, and in the gap that velocity had to be shed. And that was what the rocket fire was for. Dev was glad the transition had put a stop to the conversation, and spitefully glad, too, to observe discomfort on the faces of the two next, even Stella, who had made this journey a number of times before. Superhuman intellects they might be, but right now he suspected they were discovering that their inner ears and stomachs were just as human and just as maladapted to shifting gravity as his own. The hard rocket thrust lasted only seconds and died quickly. They were briefly weightless again. Then the shuttle turned once more with pops of attitude thrusters that sounded as if somebody was beating the outer hull with a stick, and with a blip of the main engine began to edge towards its docking station. Now, through the small window before him, Dev glimpsed structures in space. Directly ahead of the shuttle was a mass of clustered concrete spheres, huge, marked with sunlight-faded black letters, A to K, with an oddly organic look, like a clump of frog spawn, perhaps. This was the Brick Moon, Gap Space's first reception station here in the Gap,
tracking the orbits of the Earth's to either stepwise side. Further out, brilliant in the unfiltered sunlight, Dev could see the O'Neill, a new and much larger facility, like a glass bottle filled with glowing green light and surrounded by big, fragile constructions, paddles and bowls and net-like antennas. The whole affair rotated languidly on the bottle's long axis. It was only the smaller craft swarming around the docking ports at the structure's circular ends that gave a sense of its scale. That bottle was 20 miles long, 4 miles wide. And behind all this, dwarfing even the O'Neill, hovered a lump of ice and rock. From here, Dev could see work going on across its surface. The gleam of mass drivers, the spark of craft landing and taking off. Called only the Lump, this was an immense asteroid that had been nudged over decades into a position close to the Brick Moon, and steadily mined for its resources to build such structures as the O'Neill and the Cyclops telescope. "So, that's the Brick Moon," Roberta murmured. "Concrete mixed by trolls. Ha! What a start to humanity's conquest of space." Lee just glared. Dev began to unbuckle.
"We need not stay long here. This is just a transit point. We've a ferry waiting to transfer us to the Gerard K. O'Neill. It's a much more comfortable environment, with gravity for one thing, provided by the spin. We'd be pleased to show you the projects we're developing out here."
"Irrelevant," Roberta said simply. "Does this Brick Moon, this concrete box, have viewing facilities sufficient to view the progress on Cyclops? Also computational support, some kind of AI?"
"Of course."
"I have no desire to extend this visit beyond what is necessary. After all, we have to regard the situation as urgent. We have no idea how long we have before the invitation ceases to transmit, and we must ensure we extract all the information it contains. The Clark proposal is the one and only reason I am here." She laughed softly. "Not to sightsee your new toys." Lee was fuming, and Dev tried to suppress his own irritation. He said,
"Well, let's hope you people are just as happy with your new toy when we've built it for you."
Roberta and Stella exchanged a raised eyebrow glance. The man-ape was being defiant. No more was said until the shuttle closed in on the Brick Moon and docking latches rattled shut.